Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We are taking a departure from our study of the Gospel of Mark tonight in honor or in respect or in thought of our Thanksgiving service tonight. Psalm 107, verse number 21. Psalm 107, verse 21 and verse 22 will be our text as we begin this evening. Psalm 107, verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wonderful works. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. We're going to talk tonight about the sacrifices of thanksgiving. What are those? Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, we thank You tonight for this opportunity to gather together, Lord, on a different night, on a Tuesday night, but our regular midweek service. We thank You for the prayer time, for the fellowship, for the singing, the giving. And Lord, now we are a needy people, Father. We cannot get enough of the Word of God. And Lord, we get enough of everything else in this life, from eating to sleeping to laboring to working. But Father, we never get enough of the Word of God. And Father, we look forward to that day in heaven where, Father, that will be the focus, hearing it with our own ears. God, in that glorified body and being in the presence of our Lord and Savior, we look forward to that day. But Father, until then, Father, help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, as our missionary friend told us this past Sunday. And Lord, help us to desire the words of Your mouth more than our necessary food. Bless our lesson tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 107, verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. The Bible does use the word thanksgiving many times. Thanksgivings, I think, is once or twice, but this word appears many times. It's 29 times. In fact, I've got it written down. It's 29 times in the Bible, 27 in the singular, 2 times with the plural word thanksgivings. When we think of Thanksgiving, as good American people, we think of the pilgrims and the Indians. Am I allowed to use that word? The Indians, all right? Not the Guardians, the Indians. All right, we think about the pilgrims and the Indians and Plymouth Rock and that first winter and Jamestown and all that stuff that's part of our history. That's what Thanksgiving means to us in the natural realm, in the natural sense. But can I tell you, we did not originate Thanksgiving. There is a Thanksgiving that a nation celebrated long before America ever celebrated Thanksgiving. And look back, if you would, the book of Leviticus, chapter 7, just for a point of reference, and it will help us with where we're going here tonight. Leviticus, chapter 7. The nation of Israel celebrated Thanksgiving. In fact, they celebrated a sacrifice of Thanksgiving, and that's what we're focusing on here in Psalm 107 tonight. In Leviticus chapter 7, look down if you would at verse number 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, that word thanksgiving is going to be 4 times in these verses. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, in fact, that's the first 4 times this word appears in the Bible of those 29 times. That's always instrumental. We call that the law of first mention. And when you read a word for the first time in Scripture, it usually sets a pattern or tone for the rest of it. And here we find this thanksgiving. There shall he offer it, and I like this phrase, here it is, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes mingled with oil. I'm getting hungry. And a fine flour fried. They knew how to cook. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. There's the second time that phrase has appeared in these verses. And his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. It shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. God instituted a sacrifice, a feast of thanksgiving for the nation of Israel all the way back in the book of Leviticus. And here they willingly gave. There are several sacrifices in the opening chapters of Leviticus, the first five chapters especially, of sacrifices that were required by God. They were commanded to give. But this sacrifice of thanksgiving was a voluntary, I put the emphasis on the wrong part of the word. It was a voluntary offering, this sacrifice was. And that will come into play as we consider the sacrifice of thanksgiving in our day. But notice that the nation of Israel began this practice of thanksgiving all the way back there in the book of Leviticus. Back to Psalm 107, if you would. Keep your place there as we move on tonight. But then also turn a few pages over to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Again, we could look at many references with this word thanksgiving in it, but we'll not run all 29 of those tonight. But here in Psalm 116, or Psalm 116, look at verse 17. Psalm 116, verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. The psalmist said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. What are the sacrifices of thanksgiving that we can give to the Lord? We don't do the oblation, the oil, the wafers. We don't do those things as the nation of Israel did. This isn't talking about giving the Lord turkey or cranberry sauce or pumpkin pie. But there are some things that we can give to God. You know, it's nice to say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. But sometimes He wants more than just our verbal thanks. And He calls upon us to give to Him the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So let's look tonight at what we can give to God as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Turn, if you would, over to the New Testament to the book of Romans, chapter 12. And it's no mystery, I'm sure, to most of us where we're going, first of all, in Romans chapter 12. What sacrifice can we give to God in thanksgiving for what He has done for us? Now, we're not talking about salvation. Salvation is a free gift provided by the Lord Jesus Christ by His death on Calvary. But now that we're saved, now that we're washed in the blood, now that we're children of God, what can we give Him as a sacrifice of thanksgiving? Well, Romans chapter 12, you know it well. The Apostle Paul writes this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you give your bodies, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I like that word beseech. We've talked about it so many times. That offering back in Leviticus chapter 7 I mentioned was not a commanded offering. It was not an expected offering. It was a voluntary offering. And when Paul says, I beseech you, he's not saying, I command you. He does command us several times in Scripture. But when he says, I beseech you, the word beseech means to plead, to urge, to beg. It's a very rich word. It can't be changed to anything else. To beseech, when I besought thee, He said to Timothy, when I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. He pled with him, he begged with him, he encouraged him, he urged him to do that. And Paul says to you and I as believers, I beseech you, brethren. I plead with you. I beg of you. I urge you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The sacrifice of your body. That's a sacrifice that you can make for God. It is theologically possible for you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, dust yourself off after your sins have been forgiven, never darken a church door, never sing a hymn, never memorize a Bible verse, never witness to a neighbor or friend. It is theologically possible to do that because we know the doctrine of salvation. Salvation is given to those that sincerely believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, technically speaking, you can do that. But why stop there? You are saved because Jesus Christ gave His body. Is it unreasonable for Him to ask us to give ours? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What does it mean to present our bodies? Well, we gave the Lord our heart when we got saved. We're giving the Lord our mind as we grow in the Lord and learn more about Him. But He doesn't just want our heart and our mind. He wants all of us. He wants every part of us. And He wants it to be voluntary. He wants it to be complete. He wants every part of us. Our hands, our feet, our entire being. He needs to be first. He needs to be not just part of our life, not even the priority of our life. But the Bible says that in all things He might have the preeminence. Our life is to revolve around Him. Center around Him. And can I tell you, that's not in your nature or mine to do that. Our lives center around ourselves. When I think about tomorrow morning, what time am I going to get up? What am I going to eat for breakfast? That's always a priority on my list. What am I going to wear, looking at the weather and seeing what it's going to be? What am I? What am I? What am I? That's our natural tendency. As we present our bodies a living sacrifice, we tend to turn away from ourselves all the time and focus on Him. I believe in the meantime, as we turn away from ourselves, we also begin to focus on others and think of what others would like and what others would want more than we ourselves. I think we're a long way, folks. I really believe our modern day in Christianity, we're a long way from presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, making Him the preeminent one every moment of every day. That's what we need to strive to do. To give Him the sacrifice of thanksgiving, presenting our bodies. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. You know this verse also. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 19. When we think about giving our sacrificing our person, sacrificing ourselves. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what know you not that your body, that's what we're talking about, our bodies, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. There's an amazing thing right there. That the God of glory in the third person of the Trinity, if we refer to it that way, the person of the Holy Ghost, chooses to dwell inside these bodies of ours. So He's got our inside, He's got our soul, and He wants our body. He wants the outside too. Would we give Him that sacrifice of thanksgiving? Would we offer Him our bodies and present it to Him as a living sacrifice? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's our challenge. That's our ultimatum. To glorify God in our body and in our spirit. To let Him have all of us. Not just our hearts and our minds, but our tongues and our hands and our feet and everything about us. Giving to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Not just saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. That's great. Thank you. Thank you for my salvation. But now giving Him something in exchange for it. Not to get our salvation, but because He has saved us. Voluntarily making the sacrifice of our person. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. Second of all, another sacrifice. I hope you're getting these down tonight. These are sacrifices of thanksgiving that we can give to God. There's going to be five of them. I'll give you the advance notice here. We could call these the five spiritual sacrifices. And there are five areas that we could make a sacrifice to God. The first is in the sacrifice of our person. The second is in the sacrifice of our praise. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. To praise the Lord, not just on Tuesday night in church, or Wednesday night in church, or Sunday morning or Sunday night, or revival meetings or missions conference, but to have His praise be on our lips continually. That's what it says there. That the offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. There are many Sunday-only Christians. There are many church-only Christians. The only time they act Christian is when they go to church. God wants us to be Christian 24/7. He wants us, we shouldn't be putting on when we come to church. It shouldn't be the first time in the week. Well, I guess it's the first day of the week, so I guess it shouldn't be the last time of the week. On Sunday, the first day. Shouldn't be the last time that we give praise to God. Those songs that we sing, that we come in and sing, you know, on Sunday nights we've been singing, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. It's wonderful to be a Christian." You say, why do we sing those over and over and over? Because I want that song to be in our hearts on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. When things go good or when things go bad, when you just need a pick-me-up somehow during the week, then maybe that song will, you know, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." It'll encourage us and pick us up. And we can give Him praise. You know, the best cure for depression and discouragement is to praise the Lord. Praise Him continually, it says in Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Would you give Him the sacrifice of thanksgiving? Will you give Him your praise? Among your friends, among your family, among your foes, among those at work. Sometimes we're intimidated to speak loudly or boldly for the Lord around those that are not of our family of faith. And yet they're the ones that need to hear it the most. They're the ones that need to know there's somebody that's giving God praise. Look, if you would, along this line, the sacrifice, our praise. Back in Psalms, Psalms has so many verses that tie into these things. Look at Psalm 34. Or Psalm 34. They're not chapters in Psalms, they're Psalms. But we say chapter, so it's not necessarily wrong. Psalm 34, look at verse 1. And we'll notice that word continually we saw in Hebrews 13:15. Psalm 34, 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. Can you do that? That's a sacrifice of praise. Thanking the Lord at all times. Praise the Lord when your tests come back negative and everything's great. Can we praise the Lord when they come back positive and a little bit of fear enters into our heart? Praising the Lord continually. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Can you praise the Lord for the difficult times? Praise Him for the hardships. Praise Him for the disappointments. That's a sacrifice. See, a sacrifice is not something that's normal to do. Presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, that's not easy to do. Giving Him the praise of our lips continually, that's not easy to do. But the Lord desires it. It's voluntary. It's not commanded. But He likes to hear it. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 108. Psalm 119, verse 108. The psalmist says, "Except I beseech thee," there's that word beseech, "except I beseech thee," he's pouring his heart out to God, "the freewill offerings of my mouth." He's talking to the Lord. "Lord, except I beseech thee, except I beseech thee, the free will offerings." Again, giving Him praise as a sacrifice in times where other folks wouldn't praise Him, but giving Him the thanksgiving or the sacrifices of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of your person. The sacrifice of your praise. Psalm 141. Psalm 141, a psalm of David. Lord, I cry unto Thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto Thee. Let my prayer be set forth before Thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. The sacrifice of our prayers. The psalmist said here, let the lifting up of my hands, let my prayer come forth before Thee as the evening sacrifice. Now he's making reference to those sacrifices commanded under the Old Testament law. And he's asking God to accept his prayers as much as he would accept those sacrifices. He references his prayer in verse 2, let my prayer be set forth before Thee as incense. The Bible says that those sacrifices in the Old Testament were a sweet savor unto the Lord. Several times, beginning with Abraham when he made those sacrifices, God said they were a sweet savor. God enjoyed the smell, as it were, the spiritual smell of the sacrifice being made to Him. Being obedient to God, showing their love for God, making those sacrifices that were commanded. David takes that illustration and says, God, let my prayers be unto You as a sacrifice, just like the evening sacrifice, the sacrifice of prayer. We don't pray enough. We just simply don't pray enough. We can pray all day long. We have the doors open, the opportunities there to talk to God anytime we want to. And we don't take advantage of it enough. There doesn't have to be anyone else around for you to talk to God. And you can talk to God anywhere, anytime, any place. And we need to take advantage of that. The sacrifice of prayer. That incense that goes up before God. David said, let my prayer be as incense that comes up before You. Look at Revelation chapter 8, and you probably be mindful of this story. Revelation chapter 8, here at the end of all things. Notice this prayer-incense connection. Revelation chapter 8. Verse number 3. Revelation 8:3. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints. You ought to underline that twice. Once in verse 3, once in verse 4. The prayers of all saints. The prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Our prayers go like incense up before God. It's a sweet savor in the nostril of the Lord. When we pray, we need to give Him that sacrifice. We need to give Him the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of our prayers. Number 4. Back to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we looked at verse 15. Let's look at verse 16. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The word communicate in that verse does not mean what we commonly use it for in our modern vernacular. Communication is restricted to verbal or written. But in our Bible, the word communicate is more than just talking. It's giving, communicating, giving to one another, giving to God. Run that word communicate in your concordance and look through the verses and the references, and it means more than just our language and our conversation. It means to communicate means to give, especially when it comes to giving to God. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Our communication, our giving to God is a spiritual sacrifice of material possessions that He has blessed us with, giving back to God. You know, that's really Christianity 101. If we haven't learned to give, we really won't get anywhere else in our Christian life. If we're greedy, if we're stingy, if we're selfish, we've really shut the door on God's blessings. He says in Malachi, look and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. But he says in that same book, but you've robbed me. They would not communicate, they would not give. We need to make the sacrifice of our possessions to communicate. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. All right, that's communicating, giving. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Is it a sacrifice to give to God? Yes, it is. But it's a free will offering. It's something we give because we are thankful to Him and for Him for what He's done for us. We cannot purchase our salvation. We couldn't afford it. There's not enough gold in Fort Knox, if there's any gold in Fort Knox. There's not enough gold in the mines of South Africa. There's not enough wealth in this world that could pay the Lord God for the one thing He did in giving His only begotten Son. But now He just says simply this: honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of thine increase. We need to give Him the sacrifice of our possessions. Oh, that poor, rich young ruler that went away sad because he had much possession, was not willing to give. Couldn't follow the Lord with a heart like that, with an attitude like that. Wasn't willing to make the sacrifice of his possessions. As I've said already, I got ahead of myself in my notes. God doesn't want a place in our life. He doesn't want just a priority in our life. He wants the preeminence in our life. He wants to be first. He wants to be. Don't you know He could make Himself first if He wanted to? You talk about pinning you to the mat, pinning your ears back, whatever it was, putting you down for the 10 count. He could do that if He wanted to, but He doesn't. He asks us to give the sacrifice of thanksgiving. As we go into Thanksgiving in just a couple of days, as we thank the Lord for this and thank the Lord for that, are we looking at Him with just praise on our lips and no sacrifice in our life? Are we willing to give the sacrifices of thanksgiving? The sacrifice of our person. The sacrifice of our praise. The sacrifice of our prayers. There's a good challenge for us. The sacrifice of our possessions. Then fifthly and lastly, again in Psalms. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse number 17. Psalm 51, verse 17. Here David the psalmist wrote, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise." You know why David wrote that? This whole psalm? You're familiar with Psalm 51? It was written right after his sin with Bathsheba. I've been asked over my years of ministry more than one time, several times, why can the Bible say that David was a man after God's own heart? Because of what happened in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And isn't it a shame, and yet isn't it human, that out of David's whole entire life and his 40 years as a king, we look at one thing to define him: his sin with Bathsheba. We ought not look at 2 Samuel 11 by itself, but always put Psalm 51 with it. David was broken. David had a contrite heart, a broken spirit over his sin. Not toward Bathsheba, not toward Uriah the Hittite, but toward God. Yes, he sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against Uriah. He sinned against the nation of Israel. He put them in dire straits. But he said this, "Against thee," verse number 4, "against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." David wasn't casting out the others that he had transgressed when he did that, but he's saying primarily, preeminently, all right, not just a place in his life, not just a priority, preeminently, "against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." And he said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." This is the sacrifice of our purity. David wrote to David didn't write to Timothy. They weren't around. Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:22, to that young man pastoring the church at Ephesus in that wicked, ungodly, heathenistic, pagan environment, surrounded by sin and wickedness, surrounded by immorality. And Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 5:22, "Keep thyself pure." Boy, those are three powerful words that would be good for any of us, especially our young people, to have as a motto in their life. Keep thyself pure. Because the devil wants to steal our purity. He wants to rob us of our moral cleanness. And you and I are challenged by a defiled, sin-cursed world. Every place we look, every time we turn around, the world is after us. The devil's after us. The flesh is after us. We need the sacrifice by a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Now thank God He puts us back together again. We don't stay broken. We don't stay contrite. But we all need to have those times. We all need to have those moments where we realize that we have allowed vileness, we've allowed uncleanness to come in, and we sweep it out, we take care of it. God has been good to us, has He not? Romans chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, "The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Ezra 9, verse 13, the Bible says, He hath punished us less than our iniquities deserve. Thank God for that. The devil might torture you, I'm sure he does, bother you with things in the past, hopefully far enough in the past, but he's good at that. He keeps a record. God, as the song says, God says, what sins are you talking about? Because they've been blotted out, they've been under the blood of Christ, but the devil doesn't recognize the blood of Christ. And he'll attack our purity over and over and over again. If we got what we deserved, we'd be in bad shape. We'd be nothing. But the Bible says, "A broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise." Give Him a sacrifice. As we sit around the table this Thanksgiving Day, As we bow our heads and thank Him, as we count our blessings, which we should, as we name them, not the only one, but one by one, and count our blessings, let's do more than just verbally give God thanks. Let's give Him the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Would you be willing to sacrifice your person? I'm not talking about going to the martyr's stake. I'm talking about living for Him. Many have said, even some of those that are familiar with the martyrs said, it's much harder to live for Him than it even is to die for Him. Now, I don't know from practical experience if that's true. I've never had to do that, but living for Him, will we make the sacrifice of our person? Will we make the sacrifice of our praise? Will His praise be continually on our lips? Not in a false spirituality, not in a superiority, but from the pureness of our heart, giving Him praise. Will we make the sacrifice of our prayers? Not just praising Him, but communicating with Him, talking to Him. The sacrifice of our possessions, giving back to God that which He has so generously provided for us. God could demand what the government does, 25% of our income. God could say, you keep 10 and I'll take the other 90. And He'd be just in anything He does. But He asks us for a portion. He asks us for a percent. And that's a sacrifice. You get your statement at the end of the year when our treasurer gives it to you and you look at how much you gave to the church and you say, you know, that would have bought me a really nice automobile. That would have been a good down payment on my house. That would have taken care of schooling. That would have taken care of this. That would have taken care of that. That's a pretty good, you know what that is? That's a sacrifice. And God recognizes that as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Will we sacrifice our purity? Will we cling to it in a world that wants to rob us of it so simply and so easy and so subtly? You know, the whole thing about the devil is he's subtle. He doesn't just come out and violate us. He comes out and tempts us and lures us. Gets us to watch things we shouldn't put our eyes on, listen to things we shouldn't put our ears on. As we give thanks, let us consider giving more. Let's give Him the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.